This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I am Gaius. Germanicus is here. And we're going to speak of a moment that is the low point of the first century AD, the defeat of the Roman legions in the Teutoburg Forest by an ambush they should have seen coming. What happened, Germanicus?
The Germans were essentially occupied by the Romans. Sometime after Julius Caesar subdued the Gaulois, the Romans were able to cross the Rhine and pull in a whole bunch of tribes, not all of them, but many of them. The Marsers, the Usipeters, the Sugambrer, the Chattin, the Chem, Maven. It's quite a list. And those tribes were divided, and that's how the Romans were able to assert a rule all the way up to the Elbe River, in fact. But the German tribes chafed under Roman rule and were united by a single man, Hermann, who was called Arminius by the Romans. He'd been raised as a Roman, went back to Germany, and I guess with what he learned from the Romans, was able to rouse a briefly unified cluster of German tribes who then took on the Roman legions that were garrisoning Germany. And the leader, Varus, the general in command of Roman forces in Germany, proceeded rather stupidly and blindly to head into a forested area chasing after the Germans, and they ambushed.
Three Roman legions reduced to nothing by Arminius and the Germans. 9 AD, 1,924 years later. This is wonderful. Germanicus and I entertain ourselves by reading about the catastrophes of the 20th century. Build up to the 21st century where we can't see any farther than now. And one of the catastrophes certainly is the German strike back for the Versailles Treaty. The Versailles Treaty punished Germany to the point that it was helpless for years and gave voice to the communists who dominated many of the early days after the Versailles Treaty was signed. But the communists represented the Comintern, Soviets. Everybody's frightened of them. And the Versailles Treaty also gave voice to protesters from all parts of the German government. The Bundestag had many parties in it. One of those parties was the National Socialist German Workers' Party. National Socialist German Workers' Party. Sound familiar? That's what we call the Nazis. It was a little bitty party, maybe seven guys, according to the legend, in 1919. And in comes a small, insignificant, broken, drifting young man, whom we know as Adolf Hitler. And over the next 13 years, Adolf Hitler transforms the National Socialist German Workers' Party into success in the Bundestag elections of July of 32, a retreat in the re-election in November of 32, and then the make-or-break regional election in the Lippe, a small German state, in January of 33, very cold month. And that's the joy here. I read from a new book by a man named Rybak about the National Socialist German Workers' Party takeover of Germany in 33. This is January of 33, very cold. And so it went for 10 days through towns and villages, Ullinghausen, Augustdorf, Kahldorf, and Lipperode, with only the briefest interruption for meetings in Berlin, a six-hour train away, with speeches in towns, villages, and hamlets, in the run-up to Election Day. This is Hitler addressing crowds of 5,000 in the village of Leopoldshirne, the site of an ancient Teutonic victory over the Romans. Germanicus, isn't this heavenly? We've put together two phenomena 2,000 years apart, and they came together. The magic here is the connection to the Teutonic forces that defeated those three legends, reverberated right through the Nazis all the time. They were inspired by Tacitus's book about Germany, even though Tacitus didn't know what he was talking about. He'd never been there. And they were inspired by staging speeches at places that were associated with the Teutoburg Forest. And I didn't know, and I see that Rybak hasn't made a big deal about it, but we could say there was some witchcraft in the air for the vote in Lippe on January 15th to launch Hitler into the chancellery on January 31st. What do you make of this connection? Arbitrary, or is it magical, Germanicus?
I will always err, Gaius, on the side of the magical. It's certainly mysterious. So it's both magical and mysterious, and it's in many ways resonant in the sense that if one wanted to really stand back and look at the struggle for Europe, you can see on one side Romanized Europe. That became the Europe of later on Charlemagne and then Napoleon, as well as Louis XIV. It was the more Latin Europe, whereas Germany has had a very interesting, intimate, and difficult relationship with Rome itself. Many German emperors in the Holy Roman Empire wanted to be Roman. Charlemagne himself represented a German lineage. And yet Germany has always rebelled against any sort of domination by the Roman, the original Roman, which of course includes Gaul and then Britain, where we live. And so you could see World War I and World War II as struggles between the Roman part of Western civilization and the German part, which was, as I said, both intimate and uneasy with Rome. And this gets to our discussion on NATO, because there's still that desire on the part of Rome to expand. And that certainly has been taken to the point of a NATO confrontation with Russia. But the Latin Roman part of the West is still uneasy about Germany. And if you move the capital from Rome to Washington, then it becomes even more clear. It's a very interesting and uneasy relationship.
Very uneasy and a little spooky, don't you think, Germanicus? Let's end with words from the dictator. Not yet the dictator. 15 days away from being the dictator. This is Hitler in Leopoldschöne on the site of the Teutoburg Forest, 1933. And then we're going to rush on to Sinterkamp and laugh. From this historic ground, said Hitler, we see again and again that overcoming inner conflict radiates power. Germany collapsed into need and misery because it collapsed politically. I want to eliminate this need, and I have to start here, end quote. Germanicus, that makes no sense. That's the thing about him. He never made sense.
But he does speak of will. It was always will, and the will of Germany that existed with Arminius or Hermann, and that existed with Herr Hitler,
yeah,
no longer exists in Germany. This is the great tragedy. We broke Germany.
He was a witch, Germanicus.
But we still broke Germany, and we broke it twice in the space of a century. It's done.
It needs cheap energy. Germanicus is Michael Bleos. I am Gaius John Batchelor. We're rushing on to the theater. It's chilly, but it's springtime. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.